Today we're talking to John Mitchell, President and CEO of IPC. John, with the COVID-19 outbreak, the IPC obviously is taking an active role. Why don't you give our listeners an update as to what's going on, please?
Yeah, so as you know, IPC's membership encompasses the entire world of electronics manufacturing everywhere. Every region is slightly different, and yet there are common threads throughout. So part of what we're doing is trying to make sure people have and are going to the proper sources to make sure that they have the latest information. You know, what happens in California may be drastically different than what's going on in Germany, or maybe drastically different than what's going a little bit north of them in Oregon, or could be one city is different than another. And so we're trying to make sure that they are referencing the right sources there. And then, so today, actually, at just a couple hours ago, we held an industry call. We called it our executive forum on COVID-19, in which we shared an update of what's going on in those governments. So we walked through Asia, Europe, the U.S. A lot of the callers, since we did it on this time zone, were U.S.-based. And then we did a brief economic update as well as about some of the economic implications of what's going on with the virus. Our chief economist, Sean Duberbach, did that. He will actually be doing another webinar on that on Monday in a more in-depth. We cut it down about 5 minutes just so people could see what other people are doing. We've been surveying the members and bringing that data to say, okay, what are you hearing from your suppliers? What's the supply chain delay? Is that changing now? And we were even surveying them on the, you know, in doing some polling on this forum we just had a couple hours ago as well. These are basically CEOs, presidents of the various organizations around, and we had over 100 on the call today, which was great. And we'll be doing that call weekly on Wednesdays going forward. We had the governor of California and the governor of New York last night and this morning basically say, stay indoors, right? Time to be shut in, time to get through this, except for only non-essential industries should be going there. So yesterday we sent letters to every governor across all 50 states saying, hey, there needs to be some clarity about what is essential and what's not, because the states can kind of determine that. The federal government does not or has not yet. We also sent it to those same governing bodies, as well as the heads of counties, as well as the heads of or associations for mayors as well, to say, hey, look, the electronics industry is critical to solving this. The things that we're building are, in some ways, sometimes they don't even realize that they're tied to it. So they're helping with these medical devices, infrastructure, defense, whatever it may be, communications pieces. And so we're encouraging them to say, you guys are part of that exception. And so we've been communicating that as well. So those are just a few things that we've been doing on behalf of the membership to help solve that.
What sort of questions, John, were coming out of the meeting today from the executives?
Well, a lot of them, you know, this is a peer-to-peer kind of discussion. So a lot of them are saying, so we had on, you know, some companies that were based in China. And so they're kind of on the back end of this, right? They're right now we're having no domestically reported new cases of COVID-19 in China. And that's great news. And they're, you know, things are starting to get back to normalish, you know, over there. And so the experience of China where people were sharing that, they said, oh, well, you had these three levels. What was level one? What was level two? What was level three? And the one example was, hey, level one was education. Level two was, okay, we did temperature sensing and things like that. Level three, we went all the way to masks, you know, temperature sensing and social separation. What is it called? I'm losing the term here. Social distancing. Thank you. Yeah. So, that was, you know, one of the questions that was going on. There were questions about shipping. You know, we had one person share an example. They said, hey, I was trying to drop ship something from Europe to the West Coast of the U.S. And they were getting quoted 10x the price. And so people were like, oh, okay, well, let me see what I'm getting. So it's creating an awareness. But those are the kinds of questions. And some of it was reporting, you know, how are you handling if a patient becomes ill? What do you do? You know, how have you handled that? You know, and these are people that haven't experienced it yet. So it's a great chance for them to take this information back to their companies and say, okay, here's what this company did, or here's what that company did. How do we want to form our policies around that?
Great. Now, you said this is going to be a weekly call for the ongoing.
Yes. We're basically planning to be weekly, at least through April. We'll see if we need to lengthen it beyond that.
All right, great. And this is open to all members, or what's the protocol?
We've been inviting the executives of member companies. Yes.
So it's an invitation. So
it's not a free for all. It's really an invitation thing for the executives, because we're trying to keep it to decision makers. Right. So that we don't have, you know, everybody and their brother. It would be very difficult if suddenly we had 200,000 people get on the phone. It's much more manageable when it's a couple hundred.
Absolutely.
Well, and even then, it's a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, I would think. Now, you mentioned that there was an economic summary there. What was that summary?
Yeah.
What's the telling there?
So we started off summarizing some of the findings between our differences between our February and March surveys. That you can find on online there. So we shared with that some of the positivity about or negativity about when it might be passing them in North America. So for instance, that nobody 10 days ago was predicting it to last beyond October of all the survey participants, although 25% said it's too early to tell. We're curious to see what that might change to now over the past week, because a lot has been changing in just the past few days. We also looked at in terms of what they plan to spend in terms of CapEx by quarter, the vast majority, two-thirds or more, depending on the quarter, first quarter of 20, first half of 20, or second quarter of 20, or the or all of 2020. Basically, most said it's not changing their capital expenditures. There were about 12% that said it would decrease by more than 5%, but there were also 6% that said it's going to increase by more than 5%. And then between there was, you know, some differences between there as well. And then we did some GDP growth in terms of dropping into recession chances as well. Right now, the projection that I think I saw was basically 2020 would not have growth. Was what they were looking at here in this one here. But so it technically would drop into recession, but they're expecting to bounce back in 21.
Good. So when you look at this, we're just curious, what concerns the IPC the most at this point?
So the most concerning thing is, of course, the safety of the people in these companies, right? So we're trying to make sure everybody is aware what they need to do to make sure the people are safe. And safe has a couple different nuances. One is obviously the health. We don't want them to become sick or become ill. We want to protect them from health. Another safety issue is regarding fear. Okay. So there's, you know, this is going to sound terrible. You know, a lot of media is selling the fear of this stuff because it's what people want to pay attention to, right? Part of this is helping them understand that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, like I was sharing with you that the China data, we're about to put out an op-ed that's going to share that, look, this was just 6 weeks ago, and China's at 95% production. People are back at work for the most part. Things are starting to open up. We're going to get past this, people. We're going to make it. So don't, you know, be safe, but don't be overly concerned. Does that make sense?
It does. And so we completely agree. You know, we need calm and reasonable thinking to move us forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's not very helpful when, you know, yes, people need to have food available to them and they're working from home, et cetera. But, you know, if this wouldn't have happened, people still would have been eating the same amount of food over the next 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever, however long it takes us to get through this. So, you know, this run on the grocery stores isn't necessarily super helpful. So take enough, but don't like fill up every last cupboard of everything so somebody else goes wanting.
So in this reorganization of the world, and obviously supply chains are being reconsidered, manufacturing strategies are being reconsidered, what lessons do you think are being learned at this moment?
Well, I think there was some learning with the tariff structure. If there's anything that good that I can point to, I always try to find the good in things, right? Anything that I can point to that was good about this tariff war, and there's not much good about it, but at least it taught the industry, the global industry, not just the electronics industry, to get smarter about their supply chains. Okay. So the reason for that is the smarter we are, the better we can optimize. And that is probably the one thing that is continuing to be learned by here, because now how much, you know, a lot of our business mentality is just in time, right? You don't want to keep inventory, but now some people who had a little bit more inventory are suddenly looking like geniuses, right, for the next couple of months. So it's having people reexamine how they think of the business in light of these things. And so I think those will be some of the lessons learned, saying, hey, there might be different ways we might want to approach this.
What's your thought about how the administration's approaching this?
Let's just say things are starting to move in a better fashion. I think there was some early losses of opportunity. I mean, right. We sat down and everybody kind of, the things I don't like is when people sit there and go, oh, that's a China issue, or China has caused this to us. That's not helpful at all. So those kinds of comments coming from anybody, administration or otherwise, I think is just not helpful right now. Let's look for solutions. Let's protect people. And everything that's going on in that direction is moving in the right direction. In some regards, I wish it was going faster and we had more clarity. But, you know, they're enabling tools to be able to be used, which is good. And I don't fault them for that at all.
Right.
So I'm glad that the administration and Congress is voting in these measures. Whether we end up needing them or not, it's glad that they're willing to act quickly enough to respond to that. And there's governments across the globe that are doing the same thing. I mean, there's something like 500 billion euro that's available to ensure that no businesses will fail just in Germany, a similar program in the UK, Spain, and France. And so that's Western Europe basically saying, we're not going to let any business fail over this. We will cover you. Right. There's upwards of $1.3 trillion additional resources that the U.S. government is looking at offering. And so there is some question about that. I mean, there's a lot of unclarity. You know, they basically said, hey, if you're a small, medium-sized business, anybody wants that time off, you're going to give them up to the 2 weeks paid time off. Done and done. It hasn't right now, because it just literally got enacted 2 days ago. There's a lot of lack of clarity from the businesses to say, so are you going to reimburse us for that? Or is there something we can file? I mean, they mentioned that it could come out of some of the getting tax credits for it, but it's just not super clear. That's the only thing I would offer as a suggestion would be, we need to get more clarity, and it may be too early. I think we'll get there. So,
do you have any additional thoughts that you'd like to share that we haven't touched on?
I guess the only thing I would offer in conclusion, and I don't know that we haven't touched on it, but I would just reemphasize that we're going to make it pass through this. The great thing about this industry is that we're part of the solution. I mean, we are creating the products that are going to help beat this, help shore up those who are ill, help make sure that we can keep talking to each other. The fact that you and I are able to still hold this call on this bandwidth is a testament to technology and the creation of it in such a fashion that allows it to work reliably, so that even in this crisis where we're not necessarily in the office where we anticipated being normally, it's still working fine. And so the electronics industry is the backbone of all other industries. Every single other industry is reliant on us. And so we need to keep doing a good job and proceed forward.
Well, John, we certainly appreciate you taking the time today to share your thoughts with our readers. Once again, you've been listening to John Mitchell, President and CEO of IPC.